What I'm going to attempt to do this morning, as you all know me well enough that I may not be able to follow through with what I'm attempting to do this morning, but the message this morning that I've outlined, I believe that outline for our life is very important, so I'm going to be looking at it here in a moment. But what you and I need to be considering about our life and within our life, as we know that as I've been going through the power of God through man, the power of God through man, that power is faith. Now, faith is what God has allowed us to have within our own spiritual heart. And God says, here's faith, Larry. Will you accept faith? You see, I realize that I cannot build my faith. Faith, as every other blessing that God has given us, is a gift directly from God. When you and I start thinking about faith, okay, then we put that on ourselves. Well, all I need is a little more faith. Well, I got news for you. Why would God give you more faith if you're not using what he already gave you? So therefore, we turn and we look within and we check our faith meter to see whether or not we are truly allowing God's power to come through us. God says, I want to give you power for every situation in your life. And then he says, you got to trust me on this. That's a paraphrase. But you got to trust me on this. You know, when it comes to us and trust, we have been bit so many times. Oh, if you'll help me one more time, you'll never see this again and again and again. Well, the faith that God gives us is a faith for power within us. So many Christians walk around like they are weak. You know, in this situation that is going on right now with the battle against Christianity, and that's what it is. I'm not going to say that. I've noticed that nobody has mentioned Islam in there, or the imams aren't having any trouble at all. But when you start talking about Jesus, you're a fanatic. I think it's real exciting and interesting that the Southern Baptists are lumped now with the Roman Catholic Church. And you know why? Because the Roman Catholic Church was the only one and the first one standing up against the abortion of our children. And sooner or later, it was more later than sooner, the Southern Baptists were mentioning it ever so often. But it's been brought so much to the forefront to where we see the slaughter of innocent babies that now we Southern Baptists have decided, you know, we need to get in on this. Christian, you need to get in on life. And you need to have the Christian walk. Your life needs to be powered by Christ. Your life needs to be the life that is going to hurt for the underdog. Your life should be the life of love that God has shown to you. Your life needs to be the life not focused on what I can get, but focused on what can I give. And then through the faith that God will give each of us according to our calling. Folks, not everyone's called to do the same thing. If we were, we'd be preaching to each other all the time. We do not have the call that our brother has. As you are different, and no other creature, no other human being will ever be like you. Be similar, but never like you. That's God's creation. So therefore, he created you as you are for you to have the opportunity to say yes to Jesus. You know, when I stand before God, I will stand before God by the power of who Jesus is in me. I will stand before God not as a preacher, but as a Christian, or as not a Christian. Now, that's my faith. My faith says, based on the Bible, which is my book for life. My faith says there's no other way to heaven other than Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and accepting Him. That is not to be said that I want to cause trouble. It's the idea that I want to invite whosoever will, let them come in. But you and I do not have the right to change the message just to see a smile on somebody's face. You and I are commanded by God. Now, last week we looked at the dream. God gives each one of us that dream that He wants us to use. But I can tell you this. That dream that God has given you is completely useless unless you decide to go to that second phase. You get the dream, and after the dream is there, you have to make a decision. I know people that can't make a decision to walk across the street. The decision-making process within our life is just almost non-existent. Well, folks, that's okay from the human standpoint, but it's not okay in whether or not you make a decision concerning your relationship with Jesus Christ and the ministry that He has called you to do. You have to make a decision. Our decisions determine our destiny. Our decisions determine our character. Once again, our decisions determine our destiny, and our decisions determine our character. The Lord says, "Here I am, will you follow me? I'll give you the faith to follow me. I'll give you the grace that's needed to follow me. I'll show you the love. I love you so much. Just trust me, and you look at the heavens, and I'll open the windows and pour out blessings, and you can't handle them." And those blessings are supposed to overflow, but they're to overflow on those around us. But they will never overflow if we never make the decision within our human existence that the power for this body is powered by faith in Jesus Christ and no other. David Hicks, very dear friend of mine, a young man I took under my wing many years ago, is a military chaplain. I cannot imagine which brig I'm going to have to go to. When you tell a chaplain you will be court-martialed if you share your faith while counseling, you tell somebody like David Hicks that loves the Lord so much, they're just going to have to court-martial him. Because that's one spirit, I guarantee you, I know. And he ain't backing down. Why? Why has it come to this? It's come to this mainly because we as Christians have ceased to stand up for Christ. We stand up for a denomination, and then we don't stand up for Christ. We stand up for different concepts in ministry, but we don't want to put Christ in the ministry. We don't want, when you hand them a loaf of bread, you tell them, "God loves you. Come to church to learn more about the grace that you're receiving from the bread." Think about it. The world is turned upside down, and let me tell you who's the blame. Me. You. I got the power. I preach about the power. Well, I want you to know, my friends, the power source in my life is Jesus Christ. The power source in the life of every Christian should be Jesus Christ. You stand up in love. But if you have to go to the brig or go to jail for preaching the truth about Jesus Christ, then go. Actually, I think locally, as you all know, me being a chaplain for all of these years for Hardin County and state, I think I'm going to reserve the room I want. Because if it keeps going the way it's going, they're really going to start nailing us. Okay. Let's look at the six steps on how to make decisions. Because I know a lot of folk need them. Look on the back of your bulletin. You will see them. We're going to go over them. James 1, verse 7 and 8. A person unable to make up his mind and undecided in all he does must not think he will receive anything from the Lord. Let me read that again. A person unable to make up his mind and undecided in all he does must not think he will receive anything from the Lord. You know what James is talking about? He's talking about individuals who go to church, hear the gospel, and say, "Yes, I believe that Christ is the Son of God." But then they walk out the door and there's a different preacher out there from a non-Christian standpoint, and they say, "Well, yeah, we worship the same God." I got news for you folks, and I don't care how much they push it on television or anyplace else. Allah is not our God. We do not worship the same God. Our God tells us to share peace and love and lift people up, not blow them up. God says, "Show them my love." And think of it. God says, "I've got to give you the power to love." Folks, we're not very lovable. It's hard to love somebody, isn't it? Unless they do exactly what we tell them to do. And then when they do that, "I don't love you because, you know, you don't stand, do something, will you?" You can't do it right as a human being. God does it right the first time. God says, "I will give you the power to love." I love you, Larry. And so often I'm unlovable. But I fit right in at this church. I know a lot of you. Your batting average isn't too hot either. You know why? Because each one of us have an individual personality, and each one of us relate to the personality that God sends our way. You've got to make a decision. Moses had to make a decision to confront Pharaoh. He wasn't happy about that decision, but he made the decision and he confronted Pharaoh. Noah had to decide to build the ark. "Oh, I got a vision from God for me to build an ark." "What's an ark?" "I don't know. It's right here in my head." No wonder everybody thought he was nuts. And it only took him 120 years to build it. Can you imagine the faith involved in that? And Noah built the ark. Here's something about that story, though, you've got to pick up on. After he got the ark built and he got everything, all the animals in there and all of this, his family, when you read the scripture, you will find, I love this, "And God shut the door." Noah didn't shut the door. I mean, it looked pretty good on the movie, but Noah didn't shut the door. "And God shut the door." When you come into the ark of God, when you come under his protection, it'll be God that will shut the door to all the whining and crying on the outside. "Oh, have mercy, let me come in." Mercy is given from God. And the love that he gives us, we must remember. Abraham had to make the decision to leave everything. "Abraham, I want you to walk away from all you've got. I want you to go over here into a land that I will show you. And I'm going to make of you a great nation." Now that took faith. And he left it all. Here's six steps of decision making. Step number one. Pray for guidance. Before you do anything else, get God's perspective on the issue. Don't you be making those decisions without talking to God first. God always expects us to talk to him before we do anything. "Oh, you mean anything, anything?" Well, tell me, how many times have you had buyer's remorse? You bought something you thought you wanted so bad, and then there it is, you've got it, and you think, "What did I do that for?" How many times have we done things in our life that we wish we hadn't have done? Do you realize that if we truly as Christians would be in prayer about everything that we do and give it to God, that God will give us the answer? And do you know that's the reason we don't do it so often? Because what if God says no to me? We don't like no. We grew up as kids not liking no. Your child thinks their middle name is no-no. That's the life in which we live. So God says no to us. We think, oh, how could God do me that way? And then we go around the curve where we would have been in the ditch, but we weren't. It's out of love, my friends. Proverbs 28, verse 26. A man is foolish to trust himself. Don't have any problem with that one, do you? But those who use God's wisdom are safe. Colossians 3:15. The peace that Christ gives is to guide you in the decisions you make. What you need to ask in our life, and that is, what does God want? Not what do I want? Lord, let me tell you what I want. I bet the angels have to cover their ears sometime just when you pop those up there. Think of it. God says, here's what I've called you for. This is what I want you to do. And then in every individual situation, you pray about that to see exactly, already know as a Christian, that God's in control and God says, this is what I want you to do. But I need to know on every situation in my life, Lord, here I am in this situation. Well, that's just bothering God too much. Well, you didn't mind bothering God when you were laying in the ditch out of your mind and crying to God, get me out of this ditch, Lord, and I'll never do it again. God wants to hear from us. God wants us to bring every hurt, every idea, every pain right to the throne of grace. And he wants us to have a heart that's ready to listen to him. Don't take an idea to God and then to tell God how you want it done. When I was called to preach, found out real quick, Larry, I called you. I'll put you where I want you. Then I go to prison. You think about that one. As a chaplain for 3 decades. Step number 2. Get the facts. There is no contradiction between faith and fact. There is no contradiction between faith and fact. Proverbs 13:16. Every prudent man acts out of knowledge. Have any of you have ever been in a battle or in a war zone? All of us who've ever been there, we know. Because you gain knowledge. I gain knowledge from stupid mistakes. I knew better than to get caught on a front porch in Dominican Republic when the rebels had tracer rounds. They were pretty coming in, but I couldn't tell you how many came in because I was petrified. The knowledge I received from that incident, you would never find me sleeping on a front porch anywhere ever again. Think of it. God says, every prudent man acts out of knowledge. Therefore, knowledge is good for us. You see, it is faith that builds our knowledge. It is faith that trains our mind. And God wants us to be trained in every situation that can go on within our life. And he says, every prudent man acts out of knowledge. Proverbs 18:13. It's stupid to decide before knowing the facts. It's stupid to decide before knowing the facts. Here's what you need to ask. What do I need to know before I make this decision? What do I need to know before I make this decision? I upset people sometimes when they will call me and ask me for a letter of recommendation. Because a lot of times I will say no. And I will always say no if it's about their work ethic and I haven't worked them. I'm not going to give somebody a letter of recommendation that I don't know anything about. Or I've just known them through a casual acquaintance or something. God tells us, know the facts. Step number three, ask for advice. Oh, we hate doing that. It's just like me asking for direction. I don't know whether y'all, you know, on our GPSs, when the woman starts talking, now I have the one that goes in my ear that connects me with my mother. And what's her name in there? Cyril? Cyril. I'm not the only one that's got a mayor. Anyway, I told it the other day to call the jail. Who you want to call. And as she pulls up the jail number, this voice from her says, "Aren't you glad you have me? They decided to put a smart aleck." And any of you who have that, you will find out in many of those little off remarks you get. I wasn't that happy that I had her. Proverbs 24, verse 6. The more advice you get, the more likely you are to win. Proverbs 20, 28. Get good advice and you will succeed. Have you noticed the young lady that's got a picture of her? Beautiful young lady. And then you see her with the trach here to speak out of, and lost her teeth, and all of this from cigarette smoking, and her saying, "Don't smoke." I mean, what an image! She put her hair on, she puts her teeth back in, and she has the trach. And I think, after watching that, why would anybody smoke? Well, why do we do anything we do when we know what's going to happen? Proverbs 20, verse 28, get good advice and you'll succeed. So ask each other and help each other. Ask each other and help each other. Now don't come up and say, "Well, I thought that you knew." People don't do that. "Well, I thought you knew what I needed." How am I going to know what you need? How am I going to know that you're in a hospital if nobody calls the church to tell the church you're in a hospital? How do you know that? So therefore, you and I ask for advice and ask each other and then help each other. And step number four, calculate the cost. There is a price tag for every decision in life. You got it? Proverbs 20, verse 25, it is a trap for a man to dedicate something rashly and only later to consider his vows. Let me tell you, don't do that in a church. Don't ever say, "This is what I'm going to give," and not give it. Just don't give it. Don't say anything one way or the other. But never make a vow to God and then you back out on that vow. When you do that, you've brought on self-destruction. Luke 14, 28 and 29. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Will he not first sit down and estimate the cost to see if he has enough money to complete it? For if he lays the foundation and is not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule him. Ask, is it worth it? Calculate the cost. Is it worth it? We're living in a society, a generation of individuals that have decided not to think. I watch some of the marches that are going on and then listen to some of the news commentators asking them the question, "Well, who is the president?" "Well, I don't know. President where?" I see mindless people marching in the streets, and they don't have the slightest idea what they're marching for. You watch them take over buildings, and they're looting and destroying what they said they want to do in their life is work. So they destroy the places of work. Folks, you and I, as Christians, are to have no part in that. We are not to tear down, we are to build up. You and I are to stand with the power of Almighty God and proclaim, thus saith the Lord. It is not my job to keep me alive. It is not my job to make sure some idiot doesn't shoot me. It is my job to preach the truth of Jesus Christ and his job to take care of the rest of it. You and I, as Christians, have got to start standing. We got to make a decision. Either we're going to profess Christianity and confess Christianity by our actions, or we just need to be shutting up about we're a Christian. Step number five, prepare for problems. Expect the best, but prepare for the worst. You can go ahead and expect the best all you want. You're going to get the worst, especially when you're following the direction God has called you. Proverbs 22, verse 3. A sensible man watches for problems ahead and prepares to meet them. The simpleton never looks and suffers the consequences. Watch for problems. Let me tell you, Christian, when I say that, here's one direction you need to pay attention to. When you start doing what God has called you to do, look up, because the problems are there. When you start using Jesus' name, when you start crying out in faith to a Savior who went on a cross for you, you're going to be hated by the world. You know why? You're going to be hated because you act arrogant. And the arrogance they read in that is that you say that you know the way to heaven. Well, I do know the way to heaven. And it's not arrogance in which I share it, but it is arrogance in the way that a lot of people will receive it. The way to heaven is by the name of Jesus Christ, accepting him as Lord and Savior of your life, because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. I know it. That's the word of God. Ask, what could go wrong? What will happen if it does? You know, anyone who makes the decisions, and I'll tell you this, if I know and I'm taking a stand for Jesus Christ and I'm considered a hate monger, and these young chaplains are told that if you mention, bring up your faith, you will be court-martialed. When you hear that, you don't take the stand just out of your pride. You take the stand because of your calling. Christianity is a calling. So stand up for what Christ has called you to stand up for. You stand up for his word. But be ready for this. I will accept the consequences. And if I need to go to jail, I will go to jail. I will not deny that I said it. So therefore, before you get involved in it, you be prepared to know the consequences could destroy you. For us, it's normally the IRS. It's a way of knocking people off their roost, as one agent told me one time. Well, I'm not on a roost. And my Savior went on a cross. You take it up with him. Step number six, face your fears. Fear is at the root of all of your indecisions. Now, I'm going to read these things to you. Indecision soon leads to indifference. Indecision soon leads to indifference. Indifference equals is living life uncommitted to any one decision in particular. Indifference. Living life uncommitted to any one decision in particular. Okay, the opposite of love is not hate. It's indifference. The opposite of success is not failure. It's indifference. The opposite of life is not death, it's indifference. It just doesn't matter to you. Well, I'm a Christian and I'm going to heaven, so look, if you need me to switch over to your religion, I'll do it and repent later. You got a problem with that one, folks. Let's just go ahead and die and go be with the Lord. But whatever you do, you stand for God in all that you do. Ecclesiastes 11:4. If you wait for perfect conditions, you'll never get anything done. And Romans 8:31. If God is for us, who can be against us? The Christian life is not only a life worth living, it is the only life that you can live with a future. You see, I don't delve in what happened yesterday. I focus on where God's going to use me tomorrow. And there will always be a tomorrow for each one of us. But my tomorrow is based on what I've done with Jesus today. When I said yes to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of my life, and hear this well, I was guaranteed by the blood of Christ and the Word of God that I'm heaven bound. But He also gave me the freedom. You see, I had the freedom to reject being called to preach. Many are called, but few are chosen. God gave me the freedom. You'll learn more about freedom tonight. God gave me the freedom. Larry, I'll give you the ability. I'll give you what's needed for the ministry I've called you to. And when I decided, out of the free will that God gave me, I chose that ministry. But here's the point of that. Many have backed away after accepting Jesus, have backed away from the ministry God called them to. That individual will be in heaven just like the rest of us. That individual who makes the money and yet doesn't tithe to God, that individual, if they've accepted Christ, are going to be in heaven like the rest of us. That wasn't the point of any of this. The point has always been, I'll give you more the more you entrust to me. You entrust little, I'll open the windows and pour out blessings that you can't count. It's not something you try, it's something you do. God says, I love you, and I need for you to make a decision this day whom you will serve. And it just doesn't get better than that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we lift our voice to you, as we open our heart, dear Lord God, we come thanking you for the decision you made to send Jesus, for your decision, Father, to indwell us and give us a hope. We ask now, Father, that you will touch each heart that is present and those who are listening. Father, that it will truly be your love, your persistence, that we will use in our life to stand strong for your word. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.